following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Good morning again, folks. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of serving as the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I am glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. After a couple of weeks off, we are going to dive back into our Bless series. And the series is about that perhaps scary word, evangelism. It's not about a specific process or a specific strategy, it's about people. It's about you and it's about me, followers of Christ. It's about being who we are as individuals. It's about stretching us and challenging us for sure, but about being who we are and being willing to follow God's lead in our lives. And it is also about the people whom God has placed on our hearts. Those who God wants us to introduce to Jesus. And introducing in a way they need to hear, the way that they will feel, the way they will know too that they are created in the image of God. That they too are God's children, fearfully and wonderfully made. Beloved people. Our first week was all about prayer. We are reminded that Jesus, in calling the 12, begins with prayer. And so we too must begin with prayer. And our beginning was simple. In prayer, we were to ask God for the names of people that he wants us to introduce to Jesus, and then write them down. That was it. Nice and easy. Nothing beyond that point, because we all know that we can easily jump ahead beyond that, right? And try to figure out all of the rest of it. That simple. Pray, write down names. And so I trust that you have put those names in a place where you are reminded daily or even multiple times a day to pray and to ask God how he is leading you to share with each of these people. The ones that were brought back to church sit on my desk, and I've continued to pray for these people over the last several weeks. And I'll continue to throughout this series and even beyond, as they are people who have been placed on your hearts. Time and time again, we must begin with prayer. The second week, we read the story of Jesus meeting the blind beggar. Upon hearing the commotion of Jesus' arrival into the town the beggar is sitting outside of, he cries out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus, through all the noise and busyness of the moment, hears the beggar and asks him a question. A very simple question, but one that I'm afraid escapes us all too often. Jesus asks the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" And then Jesus listens to the man and heals him. Jesus listens to what it is the man wants from him and responds. Our challenge in that second week of the Blessed series was to listen. To listen with care. To listen to those 3 to 5 people on our week 1 prayer lists. To perhaps even ask them this exact question. Bold, but vital. What do you want me to do for you? That kind of question could redefine a relationship. It could completely change how someone sees you. It could completely change how you see that person. Because the underlying assumption when asking that question is, you are a beloved child of God, just like I am, and I would like to care for you. I want you to feel loved. And how can I do that? What do you want me to do for you? And then listen. Listen without agenda. Listen without planning your next steps while the person is speaking. Listen fully, clearly, and authentically. Listen with care. This morning, we are going to get to the E of bless. Not Eric, not Erica. It's just one E, not E squared, like my parents call us. This E is eat. That's right. Feels very covenant, right? Eat. Eat together. And I hope by now you are realizing this, that this evangelism initiative is not all that difficult. So far it's prayer, it's listening, and now it's eating, right? Like, none of those are particularly scary things on their own. All are very doable. There's no memorization required. There's no script to know in this. This is life. This is people. It is about living life in relationship with the God that created us and inviting others into that joy, into that reality, into that relationship. Why eat together? Let's take a look at what Scripture has to say. We're going to be in Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, I know that Dave would just be thrilled to hop up out of his seat and run and give you a Bible either today or to keep, because we value you having the Word of God in your hands and having access to it. We prepare to read God's Word together. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you invite us into relationship with you, that you walk with us in daily life. Help us, Lord, to invite others into the joy and peace of your presence. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. All right, let's take a look at Matthew 9, verses 9 to 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." We are talking about the power of eating together because Jesus gives us examples of the impact a meal can have. We read here the story of Jesus calling Matthew, a tax collector. Someone who, as Stanley Hauerwas puts it, was engaged in questionable activity. Jesus eats with someone considered unclean, someone whose presence would put Jesus at risk also of being unclean, someone then that the Pharisees would expect Jesus to avoid. It's this moment, Jesus entering Matthew's house for dinner with other tax collectors, others engaged in questionable activity, that brings out the first words from the Pharisees in the book of Matthew, because they don't like it. They ask not Jesus, but his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why risk becoming ritually unclean? Why risk your holiness by eating with these people?" In response, Jesus says one of the most challenging things that one can imagine. Jesus says, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means." The words of Hosea 6:6. "I desire mercy," loving kindness. It's that favorite Hebrew word of ours, chesed, not sacrifice. "For I have come to call the right, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Pharisees hearing this, I think, must have been floored. Jesus says he has come for those who know that they are sinners, not those who think they are righteous or holy or right. Jesus has come to show mercy, to show loving kindness, chesed, to those who know they are in need of mercy, of chesed. As those who are anxiously awaiting the coming of the Messiah, to meet the man who claims to be the Messiah face to face and hear that he is not there for them, but for sinners, must have been devastating to the Pharisees and probably infuriating. Jesus, both with actions and with words, makes one of the most important claims about who he is and what he has come to do here in these verses. And it all begins with a meal. It all begins with eating together. Sharing a meal with someone in Jesus' day was a statement. It was a statement that you were willing to be associated with that person. It was a statement about who you loved, who you cared about. And it was an affirmation that the person you were eating with had value and worth to you. And so Jesus communicates through this act of eating that Matthew and the other tax collectors and sinners have value and worth to Jesus. They were people Jesus loved. They were people Jesus cared about. Jesus was willing to be associated with them. Probably to a lesser degree, but I think meals still function in that same way for us today. Even keeping in mind the number or percentage of meals that get eaten in cars and on the run and that kind of thing. Who we eat with communicates something. Taking time to sit down at the table with someone else says something. Dave Ferguson, the author that I've been referencing a bit throughout this series, writes a story about another pastor on his staff, Tim Sutherland, who said, a couple months ago, I noticed an elderly man who would consistently come into the cyber cafe at the Yellow Box to read some of the books we have on our shelves. After passing by him a few times, I felt this spiritual nudge to introduce myself and talk to him. So I did. I didn't tell him I was a pastor. I just told him my name and asked his name. He said his name was Shiva, and he was here from India visiting his son. Over the next several days, we had multiple conversations about what he was reading and what it had to say to his Hindu beliefs. Then, just this week, I bumped into him again, this time at the counter of our ground-level cafe. Do you love all of these like coffee puns in churches that have coffee shops are the best slash worst at that, at coffee puns with their cafes? At this time, he ran into him at our ground-level cafe. He asked me, "What are you getting?" I told him a bagel and cream cheese. Then he pulls out his money, orders a Diet Coke, and says, "I'm going back to India tomorrow. Let me buy, and we sit down together." So we sat down, me with my bagel and cream cheese, and he with his Diet Coke. We talked about all sorts of stuff, his life back in India, his family, things we had in common, and our differences. But here's what I noticed. That conversation that happened over a meal as basic as a bagel and cream cheese and a Diet Coke felt significantly different than the other times we talked. We connected in a way we never had before. When we got done, he said to me, "May I give you something to remember me by?" I told him, "Sure." With that, he stood and said, "I'll be back in 10 minutes. He left, and a few minutes later came walking in with a work of art carved from a piece of wood. He held it out for me and said, "Please put this on your desk and remember me. Remember Shiva." I don't know how to explain it, but eating with someone does something that nothing else does. Have you ever had a similar experience? Where sharing a meal together, even coffee together, has completely changed your relationship, has created a bond that was much stronger than it had been previously. Last summer, I played on a rec league ultimate frisbee team, and I knew a handful of the players from a previous year, but not super well. Like, we chatted at games and periodically in between games, but that was pretty well it. They were acquaintances I really enjoyed spending time with, but acquaintances nonetheless. Then one of the last weeks of the season, we went out together after our game, just over to White Spot for milkshakes, which seems, you know, like exactly what you should be eating after running around for 3 hours. But they tasted delicious, let me tell you. We were intending to just stay outside and do like the, you know, there's like the little takeout part. But there was one person and there were like 30 people wanting to get takeout. And so we ended up going inside. And that simple act of sitting down together, sharing a meal, even as simple as milkshakes, changed things. We got to know about each other's lives, hopes, challenges, etc. Relationship was formed. And this season, it has been fun to pick right back up with these friends. Real conversations are beginning to happen, even now as we walk from the field to the car. Conversations about life, about faith, about people. There's something about eating together that builds relationship because there's something about eating together that affirms the value you see in another person. It's a way of saying, I value you as a person, as an individual, and I want you to know that you matter to me. Jesus eating with Matthew wasn't the only time he intentionally ate with those the world saw less value in. Jesus regularly ate with outcasts, with those whom society wasn't willing to value. Jesus did this so much that he was accused of being like them. In Luke, we read about Jesus being called a drunkard and a glutton because he was around those people so much. Reading that, I have to wonder, who do we spend so much time around that we are accused of being like? Anyone? Or just other Christians? I think that's a really important question for us to ask ourselves as we prayerfully listen to how God wants to use us. The last little bit I want to get into this morning is just an encouragement. An encouragement to find a way to eat with those 3 to 5 people on your list. Find a way to sit across a table. If they're thousands of miles away, you know, there's so much technology, you could put an iPad up there and do FaceTime or something like that. But find a way to share intentional time together over a meal. I realize that we all have buts that go into this kind of thing. But I encourage you to fight through them. But I don't have time. That's the easy one to throw out there. This isn't about a 4-hour, 7-course dinner. It can be grabbing lunch with a coworker. You both need to eat at work. It could be going to coffee, grabbing dessert. Perhaps this becomes a time to reevaluate where your time is spent. If you really don't have time, maybe you need to reevaluate where your time is going. Perhaps you need to find a way to open up some time to eat together. Another but is, I don't know what to say. Maybe including other people would be a great way to keep conversation going. But again, this isn't about memorizing a script. It is about building relationship. And that means conversation, asking questions, getting to know the person across the table. But I don't have a home with enough space to entertain. Eat out. But I can't cook. Order in. But I'm so awkward. You're probably not. And even if you are, the fact that you are affirming the value you see in another person will completely override that. And there's no need to do any of this alone. Invite others into your life. Invite others into the lives of those that Jesus is calling you to serve. Begin with prayer. Listen, really listen to those who God is placing on your heart. Listen for how you can serve them, to what you can do for them. And then eat together. And trust that God is able and willing to do far more than you can ever imagine. Holy God, we thank you for sending your Son for us, sinners, desperately in need of your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness. Help us, God, to share your mercy to those who need it most. Encourage us, Lord, to step into the challenging and even scary opportunities to build relationships with those you are placing on our hearts. We trust that you are walking right alongside us and that we are empowered by your Holy Spirit. And we pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.